All right, we're introducing our new series today, and for this series, I'm really excited to invite some others in on it, to be able to share about some of the mountains and valleys in their lives and to hear from them. So let me just tell you who's going to be speaking. So in the days to come, I'm excited for us to hear from one of our own elders, Jeff Webb. I don't think he's here today. But Jeff Webb's going to be speaking, former president of Open Bible Churches, Randall Bach, is going to be with us, and he's with us now, Randall. I'm so excited to hear from you. And then we're going to have Dr. Jim Brewer back up. Come on, the old boss man who used to run the show. He's coming back. And, of course, Pastor Zach and myself. So we're going to tag team this series. I'm really excited to hear from all of these guys. And today, let me just start as we just kind of crack the surface of mountains and valleys today. Let me just ask this question. Is God more present in the good seasons of life and absent in the hard ones? Well, we know the answer to that. But it sure feels that He's more present in the good times and absent in the hard times sometimes, doesn't it? You kind of wonder, like, where are you, God? Are you here, you know? We sang today, hey, I know I will never be alone. And yet there's times when it feels like we are sometimes. We might feel closer to God than at other times, depending on what we're going through personally. I don't know if you were able to read the portion of the psalm that's in the bumper video, and we'll get the sound on that next time around a little bit better. But it's psalms like the one we put in the video that tell such a different story. And I'm going to read some of that psalm that we had in the video there. Psalm 139, 7 and 8. Here's what it says. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. That's a different story, isn't it? That it's presenting than God being absent. If we were to read Psalm 139 in its entirety, we would find that it's the premier psalm that speaks of the omnipresence of God, as well as many of the other attributes that God has that we will never fully understand. And the psalm speaks of the Lord searching us and knowing us, even knowing like when we sit and when we rise. And it speaks of God, perceiving our thoughts and even knowing what we're going to say before we even say it. And that doesn't sound like a faraway God. It sounds like a God that's much closer than I realize. And it's scripture like that that helps us to fix a certain mindset into our heads. And that is this, that God is here. God is near, and God is with us. God is here, God is near, and God is with us. And we desperately need to learn to have a mindset like that. We need that mindset. Why? Because the reality of life is that we are going to walk through mountains and valleys. Every year, every day, all the time. We have these challenges in life that we are going to be faced with. And as we walk along, you know how it is. As we start to go through these things, we tend to wrestle with whether God is with me or if He's still with me. Or maybe He's gone for right now or something like that. The question is, do you believe that God is with you? Do you believe that God's with you every day? Yeah? Every single day, all the time? I know that that's the right answer, right? Yes, of course I believe that. But that belief will get tested to the maximum level when life suddenly changes, doesn't go your way, fails to go the way you thought it should go. And you know what happens? We find ourselves falling into the cycles of questioning our relationship with God, questioning His involvement in our lives, questioning whether He is with us or if He was ever with us. And those are the mountains and valleys that we go through. Scripture reveals a God who meets His people wherever they are. That's the God we serve. Scripture reveals a God whose faithfulness is not determined by our circumstances, but by His unchanging character. And so, like I said, we're just cracking the surface today. As we dive into various stories from Scripture over the next number of weeks, I want you to begin to see a few things. One, I hope that you'll see that God meets His people in moments of victory and clarity. Okay, those maybe are some of the mountaintop moments. But also in seasons of pain and confusion and loss, some of the valleys that we go through. Two, I want you to see that God works in the lives of His people through the mountains. Sometimes those are good times in life. And in the valleys, sometimes those are the hard times. And the third thing I want you to see over these next number of weeks is that His promises remain steady no matter the terrain that we're on. His promises are what are steady. Life can feel very unsteady and uneasy sometimes. It can feel very up and down, mountains and valleys and all the things we go through in different seasons. But all those ups and downs, they come from a lot of our own emotions and a lot of our own doing, our own decisions, our own contemplations. His promises remain steady. He's the consistent one throughout. And that's why we can always go back to Him and we can always go back to His Word and find that He's there. All right, I want to begin with Psalm 121. It'll be the first passage that we go through. Psalm 121, 1 through 8. I think we have that. Let me read it. Let's read it together. A song of ascents. It says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. What a great psalm. I lift my eyes. Where does my help come from is the question of the psalmist here. And the answer is given. It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And the beauty of this psalm is that the person saying this, the people reciting this, are literally walking through mountains and valleys as this is being spoken. This psalm is one of 15 songs of ascent. Those are the Psalms 120 through 134. And why they're called the songs of ascent is because they were recited or sung while people were on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate one of three required festivals. It's commanded in the Old Testament, commanded by Moses to do this, given through the law, given by God. Well, if you have to travel through mountains and valleys to get to Jerusalem to celebrate a festival, this could mean an extremely long way for some people. It's not like everyone just lived right outside the city. Some people lived hundreds of miles away, and so the journey was a long one. It was a dangerous one. It was a technical one as people traversed the literal mountains and valleys that surrounded them. And many would come by way of the paths along the Jordan River Valley, which was a below sea level, which sat below sea level, okay? And it meant that they had to climb thousands of feet from there to get to the temple. It was roughly a 3,000-foot gradual climb to make it. So they're literally going up. Hence the first thing the psalmist says, I lift my eyes up. And that is the point I want to make this morning. It's a very simple, simple point. It may not seem that profound. And yet this is one of the most crucial things that we need to practice in our faith, that as we journey through this life, we learn to constantly look upward and face God, to keep our eyes up. And so in order to make it through the mountains and valleys, you first have to learn to keep your eyes up. Isn't that so simple? Just keeping your eyes on the Lord. Boy, there's a lot of distractions out there, isn't there? A lot of things that take our eyes. Take it off the Lord. Take it off Scripture. Take it off church. And put it on all these other things. And pretty soon, you've been staring at all kinds of other things. And you got to get your eyes back up. Get your eyes back up on the Lord. Sounds simple. Not always easy. A lot of distractions. You know, my kids all play basketball. It's been a long, fun journey, right? When they were little, it was like, oh, brutal. Like, nobody can make a basket at all, right? It's been a long, long journey. A lot of climbing, a lot of learning. Both my sons, well, I have three sons, but I'll talk about two of them. Zach and Levi, they both won the Conference 3A championships this year. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, for their school. Yay. Right? That's not easy to do. Levi's team, he's on the varsity team, they actually went undefeated throughout conference play. And they just won the tournament, the conference tournament, a couple nights ago. And so I'm so proud of those guys for working so hard, winning championships, right? It's been a lot of work. But really, I wish I had some videos today. I do somewhere in my pile of thousands of basketball videos. I wish I had some videos of when they first started playing their first basketball games. If you hit rewind, you go all the way back to the beginning. When they first started playing, they had to learn one crucial thing. What's that? Keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes up. They had to learn to keep their eyes up while they were dribbling. Have you ever seen little kids try to play basketball? They're stuck right here on the floor. And they're just like, and they almost can't even pass it. They just get stuck until someone knocks it away. And that's like what it's like to have your kids in sports in second grade. It's like the parents are screaming, pass the ball, but the eyes are stuck on the ground. Just like that. I just have to keep dribbling. I can't stop dribbling. And the parents are all going crazy. But it's the simplest thing they have to learn is to be able to look up and trust that they can dribble. It just all starts right there. It all starts right there. And then they grow and they learn. And they win championships later. That's how it's supposed to be anyway. And so sometimes we get our eyes stuck down, don't we? You simply cannot be a great basketball player without first learning to keep your eyes up. And see, that right there, isn't it so ridiculous? It's so simple. That is the Christian walk. Learning to keep your eyes on the Lord. To get through the mountains and valleys of life, you've got to lift your head. You've got to lift your head and look to Him for help. Where does my help come from? It doesn't come from anything we're looking down at on this earth. It all comes from Him. And we have to look to Him. Keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes up. Okay, when you go through something hard this week, I just want you to remember that simple thing. Keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes up on the Lord. Know where your help comes from. And that's why we keep coming to church, right? That's why we keep going. We keep coming. We keep reading God's word. We keep praying. We keep moving forward. We're learning to keep our eyes up. Amen. Now, we don't travel to Jerusalem 3 times a year like these guys did. But as a Christ follower, we are still told to practice a similar mindset, okay? And to have this posture before God. So let me read a few scriptures here. One, starting with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read it for you. We don't have these ones up. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. See, there it is. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. It's interesting that we are to throw off everything that hinders and sin. All right, so it's not just about throwing off sin, but it's about throwing off anything that hinders us, pulls us back, the distractions of life, and then fix our eyes on Jesus. There's so many things in this life that we do that really is taking your eyes away from God. And He wants them back. He wants to look into your eyes, right? He wants them back. But our eyes get distracted, don't they? By so many things. That's not unlike what literally took place when the Israelites made these pilgrimages to Jerusalem 3 times a year. It's kind of crazy. They were forced to leave things behind, right? The entanglements, we can call them. Not all sin, but just entanglements. Just things we get caught up in all the time. We got to leave some of those behind too. They were called to leave them behind. And then journey forward with as little of the world in tow as possible. To go from their homes all the way to Jerusalem, looking to God, looking to the mountains, climbing their way with as little in tow as possible. I mean, what an interruption. It's kind of crazy. This is a big interruption for life. Leaving home, leaving their flocks and their crops and their possessions back home to travel all that way. What is all that about? Why is God doing that? Why did He command that? And yet God seems to have built into this process of worship leaving things behind so that we could truly focus on His presence, right? In order to get fixed upon the presence of God. And if you want to get more fixed on the presence of God in your life, there's a way to do it. Leave things behind. The entanglements that we're all going to get caught up in this week. Leave some of those behind. Cut out some time to get up in the morning, look to the heavens, and the first thing to say all right? Pick a day this week, and the first thing to say to God is this: my help comes from you. Not anything else I'm going to see this week. My help comes from you. I'm not even going to get entangled in the entanglements. I'm first going to get all wrapped up in God's word and in your presence, and I'm going to head in that direction before the week even starts. Amen. So they left a bunch behind. What was actually going on with these journeys? Well, they brought the most important stuff with them: their families, their friends, and their voices. Everything else left behind, but their families were there. They traveled in these big caravans and these big groups of people. And then they sang. They sang these songs along the way. Where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? It comes from the Maker of heaven. The idea behind singing these psalms was about placing their trust in God on the journey. On the journey. That's where God is taking all of us. That on the journey that we're on today, as we're walking forward, we learn to place our trust in God. We get rid of the entanglements. We leave what we can behind, and we fix our eyes on Him. We learn to trust Him on the journey. So much takes place on the journey in the lives of all the Israelites. And our lives are not much different. God, you will get me to the end of the journey. That's what they're declaring. You will get me to the end of this journey. I know you will. You'll get me to the finish line. And so in order to make it through the mountains and the valleys, you have to put your complete trust in the Lord for all your protection, which is what they literally had to do as they traveled from home to Jerusalem every year for these festivals to celebrate the glory of God and what He has done. All right, here's another New Testament verse for our modern day journeying, okay? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Let me read that. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So we fixed our eyes on Jesus, and now we set our minds on things above, not on earthly things, like possessions. And then finally, I like this one from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me read that. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so we fix our eyes on the unseen. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews tells us that. We fix our minds on things above. Colossians tells us that. And Corinthians tells us to fix our eyes on the unseen, the spiritual things that matter. All right, so that's what we do. We look to heaven. Now, let's look at the rest of the psalm. Let me read it one more time here, okay? Luke, I think we can go back to this psalm again and repeat it as we're reading, okay? Thank you, sir. A song of ascents, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Okay, that's what we do. Now, the rest of it is what God's going to do. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over you, over Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will, what? Watch over your life. Verse 8, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The second part of this is that God is never done watching over you. We have to look to Him, but He watches over every single part of our lives along the journey. No matter what you find yourself going through, He's not finished ever watching over you. Does that feel like He's watching over you? Because He is. He is constantly, constantly concerned for you, for your coming and going, where you are, your rising, your sitting down, the thoughts in your mind. He's concerned about all these things. We may struggle to learn to keep our eyes up, but He continually watches over us. And the rest of this psalm, it sounds like a shepherd watching over his sheep. That's really what is literally going on here. God is watching His people as they move through all these different terrains, coming to a place of worship, and He's watching them like a shepherd, protecting them. And so as the traveler moves along, reciting all these psalms of these songs of ascent, and as we move along in life, we look toward heaven. And we're able to do so with a mindset of safety, which is what the people learned. And it has nothing to do with, well, I'm going to be safe when I get there. That's not what these psalms were about. Not safety once I get inside the walls of Jerusalem, or for us, the new Jerusalem. We're not safe when we get there. We are safe now. We're safe now because God is with us and He watches over everything you do. And we can every day walk through the mountains of the valleys knowing I am safe because God is with me. This seems like simple stuff, doesn't it? And yet this is where our faith is built. In these simple moments of learning to keep our eyes up and understanding that we are safe in Him. And every day we can think that, we know that He's with us. I may feel exposed on the trail, but God is with me because He's watching over me. And we need to grab a hold of these ideas that you don't have to go anywhere to be under His care. You don't have to come here to be under His care. Or go find Him somewhere. You are under His care along the way every day. And He's with you, watching over everything. That's the way He treats His people. He's a shepherd. And I know that we're all on very different journeys. Many of those journeys have taken some twists and turns. Some of us have been more fixed on God and just headed straight for the path that leads to Him. Others, we've taken a few detours. We've fallen into a few pits along the way, had a few setbacks, but the Lord has carried us through them. Amen. How does this really apply to us? Well, we have to look to God on the journey and say, my help comes from the Lord. And when we say that, that's really a tremendous statement of faith. What a great statement of faith you can make to God every morning. My help comes from You. I completely believe that You're watching over me. I completely believe that You will protect me. You have concern for everything that is going on in my life. And so we can face challenges that way, right? We can move forward through challenges. That's what a lot of this mountains and valleys stuff is about. It's moving into and through challenges. It's not just trying to experience a great day here and then get through a tough day here. It's walking through all these things, facing the challenges with God by our side, watching over us, and having faith in him. What we really see here is spiritual formation taking place. The real spiritual formation that took place in the Israelites was happening on the journey to Jerusalem. More so than when they got there and arrived and enjoyed all the celebration. The journey the formation happened along the way. And likewise, right now in our lives, spiritual formation is taking place in you every single day. And the way you keep fostering that, the way you keep moving forward, is to keep your eyes up and understand that he will watch over your coming and your going. And sometimes it's going to be a difficult climb. We've been through hard things. It'd be nice if there was just a chairlift that could just take us up the mountains, right? Amen. But then there's no spiritual formation taking place. And we need that. We need that in our lives. The formation along the way is what's so important. That trust, building trust in God. Going to him for help. Let me read one more scripture, and then we're going to move into a time of communion this morning. It's from Philippians chapter 4, something Paul said, verse 12. He said, I know what it is to be in need, right? Maybe down here. I know what it is to have plenty. Whoa, up here. I've learned the secret of being content. In any and every circumstance, no matter what happens, in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether I'm living in plenty over here or in want, you know verse 13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. What does that mean? It means you can walk through the mountains and valleys by his strength. Amen. Amen. Like I said, I'm excited to keep moving forward in the mountains and valleys series. This is just the crack in the surface here. But I'm excited for the spiritual formation that's going to take place in our hearts over these next number of weeks as we walk through the mountains and valleys of life. Amen. Amen. Let's consider for a minute how Jesus walked and the road that he walked. His was one of suffering for us. He walked tremendously hard roads for us. But he kept his eyes up. He set the standard. Luke chapter 9 says, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He made that pilgrimage too, that final one of sacrifice. John 17 says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven. This is the night before he died. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven. There it is. His eyes are up. His eyes are up and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. He looks toward heaven. He looks to the Father. Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven. He set his face toward Jerusalem. He endured the cross. And he entrusted himself to the Father. He was the ultimate pilgrim, all right, that ascended. He fulfilled it all, ascended into heaven for our sake. He was the bread of life. And in his blood we have a new covenant. Would you stand with me? In just a minute, I'm going to release you to grab the communion elements. It looks like we have three tables today and not four. So there's one in the back, middle, with two trays on them. First person there, just go ahead and pop the top off. Grab the elements, the bread and the juice, and bring them back to your seat. Spend a minute thinking about the Lord. Look to Him and say, Lord, where does my help come from? My help comes from You. I want to encourage you to think about that today. Right now, I don't want you to feel obligated to have to partake in communion. If you're not a believer, you haven't given your life to the Lord, it's perfectly fine to stay right where you are and just spend a few minutes with God. Okay? But if you have accepted Christ as your Savior and you believe in the blood that was shed to cover your sins, all right, then please partake. If anyone needs help grabbing elements, just slip up your hand and we'll get it to you. Let me pray for us, and then I'll release you to do that. Father God, thank you. God, thank you for the journeys that you've placed us on, that we have to struggle through them sometimes, that we go through mountains and valleys, but you care so deeply about our spiritual formation. And God, we give you glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us and for going on your own journey and showing us how it's done and for spilling your blood for our sins. We do this today in remembrance of what you did for us. We love you very much. Amen.